I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bailey is 0 for 2 at a sack bunt his last time out. Here's the 0-1. Ground ball to the right side. That should do it. Xander's got it. Gets up, throws to first in time, and the ball game is over. Padres win the Petco Park opener by a final of 6-4 as a 4-run seventh inning rally gets the job done against the Giants.
And with that, Matt Scraby is already celebrating a World Series championship for the Friars. We welcome you into Gwynn and Chris. 2:01 is the time. You've been out of control since that game yesterday.
Guy gets excited and guy gets crushed for being excited.
Yeah, well, I don't want to. You're a little overexcited. I mean, it was a nice performance. There's no question about it. Padres beat the Giants 6-4. I don't know that we can make start printing playoff tickets quite yet, but maybe, you know, they win today. Then I'll start considering it. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby here in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. is down at Petco Park where the Padres posted that victory over the Giants yesterday. And we welcome you into Gwynn and Chris. We've got a great one for you on this Friday, Friar Friday, our first of the year. And among our guests will be Dylan Cease, our newly acquired ace right-hander. Joined the program around 3 o'clock today. So make sure you're tuned in to hear him, and we'll also have our AL Central and NL Central season preview. So we've got a lot of good stuff coming your way, along with our regular segments, the Daily Gambit, and Chris versus the Fans, the Big Five. Mike Schilt was on this morning with Ben and Woods. We will hear from the soon to be manager of the year in the National League. All right, we've overblown a victory as much as we can do, Tony, but all in all, it was a solid day out at the yard, I would say.
Yeah, it was a really solid day at the yard. A lot of good things happening yesterday. There was some, everything wasn't rosy, right? I mean, the bullpen had a little hiccup with Brito there at the during the, what was that inning?
Seventh inning.
And so, you know, that's something that you're paying attention to. But all in all, can't be upset, man. Great crowd. Padres did a lot of things well offensively. You got a good start from Yu Darvish. Outside of Brito, everybody else came in and threw the ball extremely well. And you got to feel good about that.
You know, I felt great about a couple of things for sure, Tony. One is this continuing, three games into the season, run that the Padres are on, hitting with runners in scoring position. And they are now 17 for 41. They had 11 such hits in that game, victory over the Dodgers in Korea. They had four more hits with runners in scoring position yesterday. They're hitting a cool 415. In a situation that last year didn't seem like they hit any better than 115, and I know it's probably accidental, it's probably just the way things work, but you know, in talking with you about the things that you observed during spring training and watching every game and being around these guys, it really seems like that is such a focus this year to do much better in situational hitting. So I'm really happy to see it paying off, even if it's only three games.
I think, especially you guys, you know, obviously talking to me throughout the course of spring training, and we've talked about it often in terms of what I was seeing, it's extremely encouraging to see it come out and in the first three games. Not even, let's put the runners in scoring position average and hits aside for a second.
Yeah.
It's just that they are doing things the right way offensively. When a guy needs to be moved, a guy is moved. When a guy needs to be brought in from third, a guy is brought in from third. Whether it's a hit, a ground out, a fly out, they are just executing those things. Well, now look, granted, it's three games. So, you know, great. They've done it for three games. There's still, you know, 159 left to go. But I don't know at any point they ever looked like this last year. That, you know, there are games where they had these explosions where it was like, you know, 10 runs, 12 runs, and they hit like gangbusters in those. But this one wasn't like, it didn't pop out. Like, it wasn't just an onslaught of hits. The Padres had to come back in that game to win it. Even in the game they lost in Korea, the first game, they didn't actually get hits with runners in scoring position, but they did everything correct to set it up. And it goes back to what Victor Rodriguez, the Padres' hitting coach, has really been preaching, and that's in the middle of the field. They want to do damage from left center to right center. That's where their mindset is. And when you watch the outs, everything's pretty much up the middle. It hasn't been any very many rollovers or things of that nature. And I think those are signs that the guys are intentional about what they're doing at the plate.
Yeah, it looks really good right now. And it didn't seem like they had 17 hits all season last year with runners in scoring position. They've already got 17 through three games, and you're right. I mean, they came through yesterday. They rallied from behind twice in the ball game. Another thing they probably didn't do a whole lot of last year, they get behind. Yeah. Even Xander Bogart said it to Sammy Leavitt after the game. He said, you know, when we got behind last year, nobody ever gave up, but we never seemed to have the feel, you know, that right. We were going to come back. And yesterday, you know, they give up the 2 in the 7th. It was disappointing. The Giants take the lead. And right away, Campusano base hit, Wade base hit, Merrill works a walk. You know what I mean? I mean, they yeah. just go right to it. And before you know it, they put 4 up there. And Cronenworth caps it off. I'm really happy for Jake to get off to a good start, because you know who you are out there. You gave up on Jake Cronenworth last year, and many of you were very sour about Jake being, you know, in this position this year. But so far, he's quieted everybody down with a really good start. He's got 6 RBIs, which is, that would be a whole lot if it wasn't for Mookie Betts already having 8. The other thing, Tony, about this win yesterday, and you know that I am a stickler for base running. I point out every base running mistake. There was no base running mistakes yesterday. In fact, the base running was brilliant. From going first to third on base hits to Fernando doing something that pretty much only Fernando can do, going first to third on a ground ball to the pitcher. The base running was great. Tyler Wade steals a base, moves up, run comes in on that. I mean, everything was good on the base pass. And those, that to me wins a lot of games. I know we don't talk about it much. There's no fantasy categories for base running, but it's a big deal. And I know that's something that Schilt and everybody's been focused on too.
Yeah, I'm not as on top of the base running stuff as you are. I think with Soto being gone, and you know, that was really your main culprit of bad base running. And
yeah, I know.
Kim so far hasn't really had a chance to do anything
yet. Yeah, Kim hasn't gone crazy
it
yet.
It was really just those two guys for the most part last year. Mm. But I see your point. No, they did a lot of good things. I mean, I have said it from the very beginning, since spring training. I like Tyler Wade and what he brings to the table, specifically at the bottom of the lineup. He can run. He can steal you a base. He's smart. And you really saw that. That's the type of style we saw from the Padres really all spring. There was no homers yesterday. It was just, you know, trying to do whatever the scoreboard was saying, whatever the count was telling the hitter.
Right.
That is what they did to try to win the ball game, and that's how they won.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Cosgrove had a nice sixth inning coming in for Darvish after the lead runner got aboard. Matsui gets 5 outs, and
he looks good, man.
He's looking really, really good. And I was, you know, I'm still impressed with Suarez. And here's what I was impressed by. I know he gave up a home run.
Yeah.
But he threw nine pitches, Tony, and eight of them were strikes. And that's what you're supposed to do with a three-run lead. I said this to Scrabe yesterday. You say with a three-run lead, two outs, bases empty, you tell the batter, hey, here, hit it. You know, I want you to put it into play. I just don't want to walk anybody. And Conforto hit the ball. So good on him. But Suarez came back, got the very next guy, you know, next pitch, et cetera, and put the game away. I mean, if he throws strikes like that, he's going to be solid in the ninth inning.
I mean, you know, I think he made the one mistake to Conforto. He threw a changeup at 91.
Oh, right. You mentioned that. You said he did him a favor.
He did. I mean, I didn't think he had any shot at the fastball. But to your point, that's what you're supposed to do with a three-run lead. Come at dudes.
Right.
He threw the changeup. He left it up. It got crushed. But then he went right back to work, got the out, game over. And that's how it's going to look. That's a great formula to win a lot of games. So we'll see if they can rinse and repeat to get Joe on the mound today. I think that's it's not very often that you get to play the first four games of the season and you get to use your number one and two starters in those first four games.
I'm smiling because I really liked the let's see if they can rinse and repeat. Coming from a guy that I'm guessing does very little laundry in the Gwynn household.
Is that true? I can also see Tony doing his own laundry.
You think he does some? Let's find out. Yeah. Let's find out. Does Tony Gwynn Jr. do laundry?
Only when I need to prove a point.
That you can still do laundry?
All right, go ahead.
No, my wife takes care of me on that end. So.
She takes care of you. Okay, let's flip this around. Do you guys think Chris Ello does laundry in the Lauriello household?
No.
Chance. No.
Yes.
I don't do any, you don't think?
I don't think you do any.
Really? Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you do some.
I think I do a lot of it. If you guys know Lauriello, she's not doing all the laundry.
Wow.
She puts it in the machine, and then she forgets about it, and somebody else has to come along and fold that bad boy.
Wow.
You're looking at Mr. Folder.
Huh?
You were looking at Mr. Folder.
Mr. Folder.
Darn right. Do a lot of laundry.
That's really surprising, actually.
Really? I thought you would be guessing that
just
with
Lori. Your lovely wife, Lori, does like to have control over things. And so I think
not
maybe
the laundry.
I can see Chris being too.
Not the laundry, apparently.
What about cleaning toilets? Is that your job?
We have a lady comes in. So.
All right. I have a question for Tony that I've been asked maybe 100 times since yesterday. But Tony, what is your official review of Fernando Tatis Jr.'s cleats?
Yeah, yes, you are the go-to guy for that.
The tribute to Peter?
Yes, yes.
I think they're awesome. I think at this point, I mean, you know, he's going to be creative. I mean, even Profar's Rush Hour joints that he's got on out there. That's creative, man. Like, these guys get a large area just to kind of be them. So I think Toddy's, to answer your question, I think Toddy's cleats are awesome.
You're jealous of all of that, aren't you, Tony?
I really am.
Because you played in an era where if you did anything different at all with your cleats, you got a letter in the mail.
Yeah, we had the fashion police. When I was playing, these guys get to do whatever they want.
Yeah, Tony did not get that.
Tony Gwynn Jr., you have too much white on your shoes. Will you please pull over on your way back to the dugout?
He got that stuff all the time. So, the other thing, Tony, you know, the Peter Seidler tribute and the heart and the initials in center field, all of it struck the perfect chord yesterday, making for a great day all the way around. His widow threw out the first pitch, did a nice job. You know, credit to Eric Grubner, the Padre organization. They hit all the right notes yesterday, I thought. And, you know, it was really wonderful to see. I love the touch of having the grass mowed out there with the logo. Now, is that going to stay for a while? Do you know? Is it out there today still? The P.S. with the heart?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be here all year, but it's certainly still here today. It was a well done by the pods yesterday, and you know, for the folks who couldn't come to the celebration of life, they got their kind of taste of it a little bit here before the game started. It was It couldn't have gone any better, I think, for the Padres in on opening day.
And guess what today is, everybody?
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn opening day. Darn right. I knew you'd know the answer to that.
Absolutely.
This is when we get serious. Tony Gwynn opening day. We'll talk more about that as we go along. Unfortunately, even though I'd like to totally forget about it, we have to touch on the Aztecs.
And, breaking news.
Oh, no, there's no breaking news.
That was
no, there's no breaking news.
Yes, this is breaking news. The NCAA has determined that UConn
cheated,
and they've given the Aztecs 31 more points added to their score.
I actually meant to play this.
Yeah, it was a tough night. It was a struggle.
Kind of lost its feel after you blew it already.
After
sorry,
I did
buddy.
Breaking news.
Thanks, Gravy, for messing that up.
Well, it goes with the theme of last night.
Talk about NCAA tournament basketball, and really, even though it was a totally downer of a night, it was it's been an amazing, you know, run again by the Aztecs. So a little tribute to them when we come back as Gwynn and Chris is underway. Friar Friday, Dylan Cease coming up in a little bit. Sit back, relax, enjoy. 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
.222 on the die. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Settle, Matt Scravey. For as good as things were at Petco Park, they weren't all that good for the San Diego State Aztecs.
Boy.
Yeah. It got ugly.
It was our worst nightmare. It really was.
It was the thing that I think everybody was most afraid of, which is that ultimately UConn would just be too much to deal with. And
yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
I thought the first half, they did as good as a job as they could of kind of making it ugly and staying close. But the sleepy thing that happened was that three-pointer right at the end of the half. They had got it to six. And not to say that would have changed things, but going in at the half at 6 versus 9, where you're like 1 point away from being double digit again against that particular team, I'm sure it was like, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, they took it to a whole nother level. The Aztecs couldn't get any rebounds. UConn was just playing volleyball with the basketball game.
Yeah, we watched it.
That was the most annoying part to me.
The rebounding thing, Scraby and I were so frustrated. We had it on during the show yesterday, Tony. And, you know, you're right. I think our worst nightmare came true. UConn played at an extremely high level. Yeah. And they could have won the game even by not playing that well. And the Aztecs didn't play their best. But, you know, I thought defensively the Aztecs were really good.
Yeah.
Their first sequence.
I agree.
But when you can't get a rebound, obviously everybody's out of position, right? And you get those offensive boards, you kick it out, wide open three-pointer, or you go right back up for a putback. And it was extremely frustrating. And I think, you know, once that lead got out to, you know, double digits, because it was still 12 with about 14 minutes to go, and I was trying to dream of a miracle at that point, but then the Aztecs started rushing a little bit at the offensive end, trying to hit those 12-point jumpers that just aren't, that just don't exist.
12-point jumpers.
Well, you know, you're trying to get it all back at once, and it just doesn't work. You've got to be patient and work for shots against that defense, but I don't know. You know, we've all been wrong before, but it looks like UConn is just going to roll to the championship. I wasn't pretty impressed with Illinois last night, but I can't see them staying up with this team. And, you know, whether it's Alabama or now Clemson in the Final Four, I can't see that. And even on the other side, whether it's Houston, Purdue, whoever, I mean, UConn just looks like they're at a level above everything else. And you look for a chink in the armor, I don't see one.
I certainly don't see anybody on their side of the bracket, you know, stopping them from getting to a championship. I can't see Illinois or Clemson beating them. I can see Houston getting out and running and making that one a kind of a foot race. They got enough bodies to do it. Purdue obviously has a big man that, you know, this is the thing that can equalize a team like that, is having a big man that can kind of clog it up a little bit. But the tough part about UConn is they can play both. They can play fast. They can slow it down and run the offense. But they certainly look like a strong favorite. I mean, they looked really good. They've looked good the entire tournament, by the way. They've blown people out pretty much. I don't know if they've had a single-digit game yet.
Nope. They have won 9 consecutive tournament games going back to last year, Tony. None of them have been within 15 points.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's
9 straight tournament games. None of them have been within 15 points.
None of them.
And, you know, at that point, you're playing like the best of the best. You're not. These aren't the regular season games where you get a directional school.
Yeah.
In this case, you're playing like the best teams remaining.
I thought it was interesting, Dan Hurley, their coach. I mean, he had a lot of really nice things to say about the Aztecs afterward, and I think that was appreciative of San Diego State fans. But this is a guy that doesn't leave a single stone unturned. And when I say that, Tony, do you know what the first thing he did after they won the championship last year was? He called Billy Donovan, who had coached the last back-to-back champion team in Florida, and said, what's the best way to do this? I mean, you know, he was already thinking.
It's a bit presumptuous.
You think it's too presumptuous? I think it's the best way to go about trying to win again.
If you're not thinking that that's not the goal the following year, then what are you doing?
Yeah. I don't find that to be presumptuous. I find that to be pretty smart. You know, and he said, he asked Billy Donovan, he said, what's the best way to win back-to-back? And Billy Donovan said, don't think about back-to-back. He said, just think about getting better and executing, put your team together and let the chips fall where they may. And, I mean, that's great advice from a guy who did it. And I think Dan Hurley is about to do it. They're a great club. And, yeah. I mean, the Aztecs just were powerless, as I think everybody else has been. So,
yeah,
there's nothing to be ashamed of.
Not at all.
You know, it was nothing. Look, it wasn't fun. I as great as they are, I mean, I hated all 2 hours of the game. You know, it was very annoying.
I gotta say that Chris was very he was within himself yesterday.
Well, there wasn't a lot of yelling you could do. I was trying to get the officials to cheat for everything I could do, but
it wasn't
gonna matter. But you know, as I kind of take stock of this whole thing, although yesterday was nothing to cherish and nothing to be remembered, what they've done over the last 2 years is memories for a lifetime, right?
Come on, man. Yeah.
7-2 in NCAA tournament games, a final, and a Sweet 16. This team, they ought to still applaud these guys when they get back home if they, you know, haven't done something already for them. So
I truly believe, you know, I said it last year, I truly believe that ultimately, these are the steps that are taken, right? Getting to the finals last house money, right? We got there, right? And that's, that I think starts the conversation, right? The Aztecs down the stretch, as much as we complain that it didn't take much for us to lose, to fall out of the top 25 or even to get in there, right? At the end of the year, when they probably played their worst, they still were in the top 25, and I think that goes back to what we were talking about. They've kind of broke that kind of glass ceiling that had been over San Diego State by getting to that finals, and now getting back to a Sweet 16, I think only starts the process for this team to be a perennial, you know, beyond Sweet 16. There's just levels to it. Nobody just goes from out of nowhere to being a national championship contender, right? The Aztecs have built this program up really since the time Steve Fisher got here, and it's been continued now. I just think that, you know, We were overmatched in that UConn game. But I think this still will lead to this program continuing to climb new heights.
Yeah, I think the Aztecs keep going forward. I mean, they got knocked down last night, but I agree with you, Tony. They're going to keep moving on. They're going to keep. And for those people who think that they don't get any respect, keep this in mind. They finished fifth in their own league. They did not win the conference championship tournament, and yet they were still given a 5 seed, which was 3 seeding lines higher than any other team in their league. So not only do we know that they've arrived, but I think everybody out there knows they've arrived. And that's a great thing for this program and what Brian Dutcher's done. So
I think we need to also, now that the Aztecs are out, I need to see Zach Edey play against this other tall guy. You said it yesterday, and I thought about it. I'll drive home for some reason. I don't know why you're in my head, I'll drive home. But you were saying that you want to see what Zach Edey does against a fellow tall guy, and that would be a fun matchup to watch.
If they make the final, he'll get a fellow tall guy, because that guy in UConn was almost immovable last night.
I mean, Jaden Ledee went to the floor one time.
He ran Jaden Ledee over.
He did.
On the way to the rim, and
that's
we were thinking,
that's
either got to be a foul, or, you know, because you don't put Jaden Ledee on the floor. But, yeah, that was a big dude. They were good. They're awfully good. All right.
That means a lineup is in, huh?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Lineup. Do we want to wait till the other side?
Oh, I think we should keep the people in suspense.
All right. Sounds good. I love doing that, too.
Let's keep the people in suspense. When we return, we'll have the Padres lineup. Morgan and Chris on the way.
Welcome back to Glenn and Chris. So good to be with you on our first Friar Friday of 2024. Dylan Cease will be our Friar Friday guest. That is coming up at the top of this hour, so stick around for that. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, where the Padres will take on the Giants once again tonight. And that will get underway at 6:40. Sammy Levitt's pregame show, brought to you by Eco Water, comes on at 5:40, following our show.
Correct.
That means there's no Scraby Chronicles tonight, unless you come back after the game. I think you ought to call out and say, you know, I want to come back after the game and do a chronicle.
I'm busy tonight.
You're not going to do that?
I'm busy.
I'm busy. I find that hard to believe unless busy concerns you
playing video games.
Playing video games all night long.
Yeah. No, but I am going to do some cool Scraby show stuff throughout the year. I'm gonna try to do some new things and just see how they work out.
I'm sure you will. The Scraby Chronicles have been quite the success so far, and you're doing a nice job. Before we get to the Padre lineup, I got a couple of scores to pass along. First tournament, South Carolina is on display right now, and Indiana is playing South Carolina, and Indiana's looking a lot like the Aztecs looked last night. Powerless to stop undefeated South Carolina. It's 28-15 here in the second quarter.
It's funny you bring that up. This morning I saw the presser of the head coach for Indiana, and she was doing her best to come up with why they would be able to possibly pull this off. She was telling everybody, you know, you can use this kind of thing to your advantage. You know, the kids, they read, they know that they're not supposed to have a chance, and you can try to use that to your advantage. Sounds like it's not working right now.
Not yet. Okay. As Brian Dutcher said on his way to Boston, good news is we're not playing the Celtics. Bad news, we're playing UConn. I don't know, they maybe should have played the Celtics. Maybe Jason Tatum would have been missing his 3-point shots last night. Also earlier today, Oregon State out of the Pac-12 defeated Notre Dame in the Sweet 16. So a good win for Oregon State there.
Notre Dame has that freshman at the point guard position. They go down, huh?
They went down today. So Oregon State moves on to the Elite Eight. Tomorrow, Iowa will play Colorado. We'll take a look at that a little later. Caitlin Clark and all the money that's being thrown at her. NCAA tournament does continue tonight with the the other 4 games, we'll look at those in the Daily Gambit. And on the baseball scoreboard, the Atlanta Braves just did Atlanta Braves stuff. Mm-hmm. They rolled a 7 in the top of the 8th inning against the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen. It is now 9-2 Braves over the Phillies opening day in Philadelphia. Spencer Strider started, pitched 5 innings, struck out 8. And the other game today, Tony, Milwaukee beat the Mets 3-1. Mets got one hit in this game. That was a Starling Marte home run. Christian Yelich homered for Milwaukee, but we had our first, at least I think it was the first, bench-clearing brawl of the year. Rhys Hoskins, newly acquired by the Brewers, sliding hard into second base on a double play. Jeff McNeil, not happy about that.
Not a fan of it, huh?
No. Started screaming at Rhys Hoskins. The bench is emptied. The bullpen's emptied. The thing I'll remember most about it was Rhys Hoskins, once he was over by the safe haven of his own dugout, looking out at Jeff McNeil and wiping his eyes as if Jeff McNeil was being a crybaby.
It was pretty good, I gotta say.
It was pretty good, but I bet you that fastball that they stick in his ribs will be pretty good tomorrow.
you know, as we would say from the other side, we got that pitch too. So, I mean, you stick our guy with a fastball, guess what? We got that same fastball we can stick in your ribs. I thought Jeff McNeil came off exactly how Rhys Hoskins was insinuating.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I just don't know that the Mets will take it that way.
No, they may not. I mean, I will say Jeff McNeil had plenty of opportunity while Rhys Hoskins was laying there on the ground, slowly getting up, if he really wanted to smoke. Instead, Rhys Hoskins began his trot back, and then the yelling and more gesture started
good
to come
point,
towards
Tony.
His way.
Jeff McNeil waited till Rhys Hoskins cleared the area and then decided to scream at him.
And then it was like the hold me back. Like,
right, because, you know, Jeff McNeil was pissed from the very beginning. I thought when it initially happened and he got taken out, I thought if he had the ball in his hand, I'm glad he didn't. I feel like he might have thrown it at Hoskins. But the slide didn't allow for him to catch it. So he was yelling from the beginning, but I'm just saying, if he really wanted to do something, Rhys Hoskins was on his back, kind of just looking up. He's slow. I mean, you could have jumped on his back. You could have dropped a people's elbow on him if you wanted to.
Oh, people's elbow would have been amazing.
He didn't do any of that.
I love wrestling, but what's a people? I think I know.
It's the Rock.
Is it where you come off the top rope?
No. You get into the middle of the ring. The guy's laying down there. You step over him, and then the Rock goes, puts his hands like, let's go. And he goes into this rope, and he runs, and he jumps over the body. And then he does this, Chris. He goes like, he does like some little dance, and then falls on the elbow.
That's the people's elbow.
Yes.
That's the people's elbow.
It's one of the most amazing things ever.
Jeff McNeil would have run and bounced off the right center field wall and come running back for the people's elbow, that would have been something.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah. It would have been great.
Like, where's Jeff going? Oh, he's going to the right center.
He's going to the wall.
Rhys Hoskins is waiting for him because he's expecting a people's elbow.
Well, I
don't want to miss it.
Yeah, sometimes the Rock took his time setting up the people's elbow. And
it's always nice the other wrestler was, able to
knocked
wait
out
for
enough.
It.
They were stunned
right.
enough.
Yes.
They
he was
sit
stunned
on the
enough for just yes. the amount of time he needed.
Yeah. Just right. Yeah. All right. Padres and Giants tonight, as I said, 6:40 the start at Petco Park. Joe Musgrove for the Friars. Rookie, I think he did pitch a little last year, though, Kyle Harrison.
Yeah, Padres roughed him up a little
for
bit
the Giants. I hear good things about Kyle Harrison, though, but we'll see. He's a lefty, so the Padre lineup changes just a tad tonight.
It does indeed. You got the first seven as they have been really all season. Xander Bogaerts, Fernando Tatis, Jake Cronenworth, Manny Machado, Ha-Sung Kim, Jerickson Profar, Luis Camposano. Now, it gets a little different, right? You got the lefty on the mound, so you get an Eggy Rosario at third, and you get Jose Azokar, a.k.a. Sugar, in center field, batting ninth.
Jackson Merrill is left-handed only, right, Tony? Is he switching?
No. Oh, yes. He only.
Okay.
Hits
right. So yeah, I wouldn't expect him then to be in there against a lefty. At least not yet. But he's done. He's afforded himself awfully well. Campusano, two more hits yesterday. What'd you do? You put the stat in here. It's a good one, Scraby.
It's from Kevin Acey. I'm not going to claim it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you gave him credit. But Campusano started.
Acey, I'm not going to claim it.
No, because Kevin Acey deserves all the credit here. 66 games for Campusano in his career, 19 multiple hit games. That's like one out of every three games. That's not too shabby. And Xander Bogaerts has had three straight multiple hit games to open the season. Last Padre to do that was, Tony, did you know? Did they give you that same note yesterday in the booth?
They might have. I don't remember. You didn't get it?
No. Mark Loretta, 2004, had multiple hits in the first three games. So good on Xander.
Kyle Harrison, last year, 5 2/3, 6 hits, 6 runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts against the Pods.
Well, let's see if we can get a rinse and repeat of that.
Indeed. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. All right. Mike Schilt was on the morning show today. We're going to have the Dylan Cease interview coming for you in about 15 minutes, so stick around for that. But some of the things that Mike Schilt had to say in an enlightening interview with our Ben and Woods. And one thing Mike Schilt, I know he said after the game, was that he thought the Fernando base running move from first to third on a basically what was a ground ball to the pitcher. Mike Schilt described that as sexy base running.
He did.
He did.
And it was. So
you know why he has to describe it as sexy? It's because he knows there's probably only a handful of guys that can pull it off.
For sure.
If you say it's good base running, then you might have other guys trying to do that, and there's just not many guys.
He doesn't want anybody else on his team getting the same idea. But Ben and Woods had an idea of what to ask Mike Schilt this morning, and the question was, what other baseball plays does Mike Schilt think are sexy?
I don't know. You kind of know it when you see it. I mean, you know, there'll be more that'll come up that we'll attach that to. But yeah, that was just a baseball play that, you know, it sets up. It's all the intangibles. You know, it's anticipation. It's athleticism. It's aggression. It's trust. It's all the different things that make a really special baseball play. And, you know, there's actually a fair amount of them yesterday. I mean, Toddy's was very well aptly described. Just a great baseball plays going on the pitch, full count with Crony, and, you know, didn't hesitate. And the thing that was even more impressive about it for me is that ball's behind him. You know, it's over on the first base side, and he's going towards second, but he was able to figure out what that looked like and make a decision. You know, Jackson going first to third on the ball bogey hit was really nice. Mandy going first to third. It was just really good base running plays yesterday that, for me, are a big differentiators that help you win baseball games.
Mike Schilt sounding like Chris Ello there with his love of base running. Very good.
Yeah.
Happy to hear that. Luis Campos.
No doubt.
What?
Nothing.
What? You never mind.
I said no doubt. That's
yes.
It.
Oh. I was just being a parrot, echoing what Tony said.
Fly away, parrot.
Really, I guess I really bothered him with that.
Fly away, parrot.
Caw.
Mike Schilt was asked about Luis Camposano. We talked about him, a multiple hit game again. Here's what Schilt had to say about his young catcher.
Yeah, Campy's demonstrated early, which is really impressive, at an early stage
tournament. South Carolina's on display right now, and Indiana is playing South Carolina, and Indiana's looking a lot like the Aztecs looked last night. That's pretty much funny. Powerless to stop undefeated South Carolina. It's 28-15 here in the second quarter.
It's funny you bring that up. This morning I saw the presser of the head coach for Indiana, and she was doing her best to come up with why they would be able to possibly pull this off. She was telling everybody, you know, you can use this kind of thing to your advantage. You know, the kids, they read, they know that they're not supposed to have a chance, and you can try to use that to your advantage. Sounds like it's not working right now.
Not yet. Okay. As Brian Dutcher said on his way to Boston, good news is we're not playing the Celtics. Bad news, we're playing UConn. I don't know. They maybe should have played the Celtics. Maybe Jason Tatum would have been missing his three-point shots last night. Also, earlier today, Oregon State, out of the Pac-12, defeated Notre Dame in the Sweet 16. So, a good win for Oregon State there.
Notre Dame has that freshman at the point guard position. They go down, huh?
They went down today. So, Oregon State moves on to the Elite Eight. Tomorrow, Iowa will play Colorado. We'll take a look at that a little later. Caitlin Clark and all the money that's being thrown at her. NCAA tournament does continue tonight with the the other four games. We'll look at those in the Daily Gambit. And on the baseball scoreboard, the Atlanta Braves just did Atlanta Braves stuff. Mm-hmm. They rolled a 7 in the top of the 8th inning against the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen. It is now 9-2 Braves over the Phillies, opening day in Philadelphia. Spencer Strider started, pitched 5 innings, struck out 8. And the other game today, Tony, Milwaukee beat the Mets 3-1. Mets got one hit in this game. That was a Starling Marte home run. Christian Yelich homered for Milwaukee, but we had our first, at least I think it was the first, bench-clearing brawl of the year. Rhys Hoskins, newly acquired by the Brewers, sliding hard into second base on a double play. Jeff McNeil, not happy about that.
Not a fan of it, huh?
No. Started screaming at Rhys Hoskins. The bench is emptied. The bullpen's emptied. The thing I'll remember most about it was Rhys Hoskins, once he was over by the safe haven of his own dugout, looking out at Jeff McNeil and wiping his eyes as if Jeff McNeil was being a crybaby.
It was pretty good, I gotta say.
It was pretty good, but I bet you that fastball that they stick in his ribs will be pretty good tomorrow.
you know, as we would say from the other side, we got that pitch too. So, I mean, you stick our guy with a fastball, guess what? We got that same fastball we can stick in your ribs. I thought Jeff McNeil came off exactly how Rhys Hoskins was insinuating.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I just don't know that the Mets will take it that way.
They may not. I mean, I will say Jeff McNeil had plenty of opportunity while Rhys Hoskins was laying there on the ground, slowly getting up, if he really wanted to smoke. Instead, Rhys Hoskins began his trot back, and then the yelling and more gestures started
good
to come
point,
towards
Tony.
His way.
Good point, Tony. Jeff McNeil waited till Rhys Hoskins cleared the area and then decided to scream at him.
And then it was like the hold me back. Like,
right, because, you know, hold me back. Jeff McNeil was pissed from the very beginning. I thought when it initially happened and he got taken out, I thought if he had the ball in his hand, I'm glad he didn't. I feel like he might have thrown it at Hoskins. But the slide did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back to Glenn and Chris. So good to be with you on our first Friar Friday of 2024. Dylan Cease will be our Friar Friday guest. That is coming up at the top of this hour, so stick around for that. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, where the Padres will take on the Giants once again tonight. And that will get underway at 6:40. Sammy Levitt's pregame show, brought to you by Eco Water, comes on at 5:40. Following our show.
Correct.
That means there's no Scraby Chronicles tonight, no. Unless you come back after the game. I think you ought to call out and say, you know, I want to come back after the game and do a chronicle.
I'm busy tonight.
You're not going to do that?
I'm busy.
I'm busy. I find that hard to believe unless busy concerns you
playing video games.
Playing video games all night long.
No, but I am going to do some cool Scraby show stuff throughout the year. I'm gonna try to do some new things and just see how they work out.
I'm sure you will. The Scraby Chronicles have been quite the success so far, and
I hope so.
You're doing a nice job. Before we get to the Padre lineup, I got a couple of scores to pass along. First tournament, South Carolina is on display right now, and Indiana is playing South Carolina, and Indiana's looking a lot like the Aztecs looked last night. Pretty That's much funny. Powerless to stop undefeated South Carolina. It's 28-15 here in the second quarter.
It's funny you bring that up. This morning I saw the presser of the head coach for Indiana, and she was doing her best to to come up with why they would be able to possibly pull this off. She was telling everybody, you know, you can use this kind of thing to your advantage. You know, the kids, they read, they know that they're not supposed to have a chance, and you can try to use that to your advantage. Sounds like it's not working right now.
Not yet. Okay. As Brian Dutcher said on his way to Boston, good news is we're not playing the Celtics. Bad news, we're playing UConn. I don't know. They maybe should have played the Celtics. Maybe Jason Tatum would have been missing his three-point shots last night. Also earlier today, Oregon State out of the Pac-12 defeated Notre Dame in the Sweet 16. So a good win for Oregon State there.
Notre Dame has that freshman at the point guard position. They go down, huh?
They went down today. So Oregon State moves on to the Elite Eight. Tomorrow, Iowa will play Colorado. We'll take a look at that a little later. Caitlin Clark and all the money that's being thrown at her. NCAA tournament does continue tonight with the the other four games. We'll look at those in the Daily Gambit. And on the baseball scoreboard, the Atlanta Braves just did Atlanta Braves stuff. Mm-hmm. They rolled a 7 in the top of the 8th inning against the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen. It is now 9-2 Braves over the Phillies opening day in Philadelphia. Spencer Strider started, pitched 5 innings, struck out 8. And the other game today, Tony, Milwaukee beat the Mets 3-1. Mets got one hit in this game. That was a Starling Marte home run. Christian Yelich homered for Milwaukee. But we had our first, at least I think it was the first, bench-clearing brawl of the year. Rhys Hoskins, newly acquired by the Brewers, sliding hard into second base on a double play. Jeff McNeil, not happy about that.
Not a fan of it, huh?
No. Started screaming at Rhys Hoskins. The bench is emptied. The bullpen's emptied. The thing I'll remember most about it was Rhys Hoskins, once he was over by the safe haven of his own dugout, looking out at Jeff McNeil and wiping his eyes as if Jeff McNeil was being a crybaby.
It was pretty good, I gotta say.
It was pretty good, but I bet you that fastball that they stick in his ribs will be pretty good tomorrow.
you know, as we would say from the other side, we got that pitch too. So, I mean, you stick our guy with a fastball, guess what? We got that same fastball we can stick in your ribs. I thought Jeff McNeil came off exactly how Rhys Hoskins was
insinuating. Yeah, I think you're right, but I just don't know that the Mets will take it that way.
No, they may not. I mean, I will say Jeff McNeil had plenty of opportunity while Rhys Hoskins was laying there on the ground, slowly getting up, if he really wanted to smoke. Instead, Rhys Hoskins began his trot back, and then the yelling and more gesture started
good
to come
point,
towards
Tony.
His way.
Jeff McNeil waited till Rhys Hoskins cleared the area and then decided to scream at him.
And then it was like the hold me back. Like,
right, because, you know, Jeff McNeil was pissed from the very beginning. I thought when it initially happened and he got taken out, I thought if he had the ball in his hand, I'm glad he didn't. I feel like he might have thrown it at Hoskins. But the slide didn't allow for him to catch it. So he was yelling from the beginning, but I'm just saying, if he really wanted to do something, Rhys Hoskins was on his back, kind of just looking up. He's slow. I mean, you could have jumped on his back. You could have dropped a people's elbow on him if you wanted to.
Oh, people's elbow would have been amazing.
He didn't do anything.
I love wrestling, but what's a people? I think I know.
It's the Rock.
Is it where you come off the top rope?
No. You get into the middle of the ring. The guy's laying down there. You step over him, and then the Rock goes, puts his hands like, let's go, and he goes into this rope, and he runs, and he jumps over the body, and then he does this, Chris. He goes like, he does like some little dance, and then falls on the elbow.
That's the people's elbow.
Yes.
That's the people's elbow.
It's right one of the most amazing things
I've
ever
seen. Jeff McNeil would have run and bounced off the right center field wall and come running back for the people's elbow, that would have been something.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah. It would have been great.
Like, where's Jeff going? Oh, he's going to the right center.
He's going to the wall.
Rhys Hoskins is waiting for him because he's expecting a people's elbow.
Well, I
don't want to miss it.
Yeah, sometimes the Rock took his time setting up the people's elbow. And
it's always nice the other wrestler was, able to
knocked
wait
out
for
enough.
It.
They were stunned
right.
enough.
Yes.
They
he was
sit
stunned
on the
enough for just the amount of time he needed.
Yeah. Just right. Yeah. All right. Padres and Giants tonight, as I said, 6:40 the start at Petco Park. Joe Musgrove for the Friars. Rookie, I think he did pitch a little last year, though, Kyle Harrison.
Padres roughed him up a little
for the
bit
Giants. I hear good things about Kyle Harrison, though. But we'll see. He's a lefty, so the Padre lineup changes just a tad tonight, Tony.
It does indeed. You have the first seven as they have been really all season. Xander Bogaerts, Fernando Tatis, Jake Cronenworth, Manny Machado, Ha-Sung Kim, Jerickson Profar, Luis Camposano. Now, gets a little different, right? You got the lefty on the mound, so you get an Eggy Rosario at third. And you get Jose Azokar, a.k.a. Sugar, in center field, batting ninth.
Jackson Merrill is left-handed only, right, Tony?
Is he switching? No, oh, yes. He only
okay,
hits.
Okay, right. So, yeah, I wouldn't expect him then to be in there against a lefty, at least not yet. But he's afforded himself awfully well. Camposano, two more hits yesterday. What'd you do? You put the stat in here. It's a good one, Scraby.
It's from Kevin Acey. I'm not going to claim it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you gave him credit. But Camposano started.
Acey, I'm not going to claim it.
No, because Kevin Acey deserves all the credit here. 66 games for Camposano in his career, 19 multiple hit games. That's like one out of every three games. That's not too shabby. And Xander Bogaerts has had three straight multiple hit games to open the season. Last Padre to do that was. Tony, did you know? Did they give you that same note yesterday in the booth?
They might have. I don't
you didn't get it?
No.
Mark Loretta, 2004, had multiple hits in the first three games. So good on
quick,
Xander.
Kyle Harrison, last year, 5 2/3, 6 hits, 6 runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts against the Pods.
Well, let's see if we can get a rinse and repeat.
Indeed. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. All right. Mike Schilt was on the morning show today. We're going to have the Dylan Cease interview coming for you in about 15 minutes, so stick around for that. But some of the things that Mike Schilt had to say in an enlightening interview with our Ben and Woods. And one thing Mike Schilt, I know he said after the game, was that he thought the Fernando base running move from first to third on a basically what was a ground ball to the pitcher. Mike Schilt described that as sexy base running.
He did.
He did.
And it was. So
you know why he has to describe it as sexy? It's because he knows there's probably only a handful of guys that can pull it off.
For sure.
If you say it's good base running, then you might have other guys trying to do that, and there's just not many guys.
He doesn't want anybody else on his team getting the same idea. But Ben and Woods had an idea of what to ask Mike Schilt this morning, and the question was, what other baseball plays does Mike Schilt think are sexy?
I don't know. You kind of know it when you see it. I mean, you know, there'll be more that'll come up that we'll attach that to. But yeah, that was just a baseball play that, you know, it sets up. It's all the intangibles. You know, it's anticipation. It's athleticism. It's aggression. It's trust. It's all the different things that make a really special baseball play. And, you know, there's actually a fair amount of them yesterday. I mean, Tatis was very well aptly described. Just a great baseball plays going on the pitch, full count with Crony, and, you know, didn't hesitate. And the thing that was even more impressive about it for me is that ball's behind him. You know, it's over on the first base side, and he's going towards second, but he was able to figure out what that looked like and make a decision. You know, Jackson going first to third on the ball bogey hit was really nice. Manny going first to third. It was just really good base running plays yesterday that, for me, are a big differentiators that help you win baseball games.
Mike Schilt sounding like Chris Ello there with his love of base running. Very good.
Yeah.
Happy to hear that. Luis Campos.
No doubt.
What?
Nothing.
What? You never mind.
I said no doubt. That's
yes.
It.
Oh. I was just being a parrot, echoing what Tony said.
Fly away, parrot.
Really, I guess I really bothered him with that.
Fly away, parrot.
Caw.
Mike Schilt was asked about Luis Camposano. We talked about him, a multiple hit game again. Here's what Schilt had to say about his young catcher.
Yeah, Campy's demonstrated early, which is really impressive at an early stage.
Tournament. South Carolina's on display right now. And Indiana is playing South Carolina, and Indiana's looking a lot like the Aztecs looked last night. Pretty That's much funny. Powerless to stop undefeated South Carolina. It's 28-15 here in the second quarter.
It's funny you bring that up. This morning I saw the presser of the head coach for Indiana, And she was doing her best to come up with why they would be able to possibly pull this off. She was telling everybody, you know, you can use this kind of thing to your advantage. You know, the kids, they read, they know that they're not supposed to have a chance, and you can try to use that to your advantage. Sounds like it's not working right now.
Not yet. Okay. As Brian Dutcher said on his way to Boston, good news is we're not playing the Celtics. Bad news, we're playing UConn. I don't know. They maybe should have played the Celtics. Maybe Jason Tatum would have been missing his three-point shots last night. Also earlier today, Oregon State out of the Pac-12 defeated Notre Dame in the Sweet 16. So a good win for Oregon State there.
Notre Dame has that freshman at the point guard position. They go down, huh?
They went down today. So Oregon State moves on to the Elite Eight. Tomorrow, Iowa will play Colorado. We'll take a look at that a little later. Caitlin Clark and all the money that's being thrown at her. NCAA tournament does continue tonight with the other four games. We'll look at those in the Daily Gambit. And on the baseball scoreboard, the Atlanta Braves just did Atlanta Braves stuff. Mm-hmm. They rolled a 7 in the top of the 8th inning against the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen. It is now 9-2 Braves over the Phillies opening day in Philadelphia. Spencer Strider started, pitched 5 innings, struck out 8. And the other game today, Tony, Milwaukee beat the Mets 3-1. Mets got one hit in this game. That was a Starling Marte home run. Christian Yelich homered for Milwaukee. But we had our first, at least I think it was the first, bench-clearing brawl of the year. Rhys Hoskins, newly acquired by the Brewers, sliding hard into second base on a double play. Jeff McNeil, not happy about that.
Not a fan of it, huh?
No. Started screaming at Rhys Hoskins. The bench is emptied. The bullpen's emptied. The thing I'll remember most about it was Rhys Hoskins, once he was over by the safe haven of his own dugout, looking out at Jeff McNeil and wiping his eyes as if Jeff McNeil was being a crybaby.
It was pretty good, I gotta say.
It was pretty good, but I bet you that fastball that they stick in his ribs will be pretty good tomorrow.
you know, as we would say from the other side, we got that pitch too. So, I mean, you stick our guy with a fastball, guess what? We got that same fastball we can stick in your ribs. I thought Jeff McNeil came off exactly how Rhys Hoskins was
I think you're right, but I just don't know that the Mets will take it that way.
They may not. I mean, I will say Jeff McNeil had plenty of opportunity while Rhys Hoskins was laying there on the ground, slowly getting up, if he really wanted to smoke. Instead, Rhys Hoskins began his trot back, and then the yelling and more gestures started
good
to come
point,
towards
Tony.
His way.
Jeff McNeil waited till Rhys Hoskins cleared the area and then decided to scream at him.
And then it was like the hold me back. Like,
right, because, you know, hold me back. Jeff McNeil was pissed from the very beginning. I thought when it initially happened and he got taken out, I thought if he had the ball in his hand, I'm glad he didn't. I feel like he might have thrown it at Hoskins. But the slide didn't allow for him to catch it. So he was yelling from the beginning, but I'm just saying, if he really wanted to do something, Rhys Hoskins was on his back, kind of just looking up. He's slow. I mean, you could have just jumped on his back. You could have dropped a people's elbow on him if you wanted to.
Oh, people's elbow would have been amazing.
He didn't do anything.
I love wrestling, but what's a people? I think I know.
It's the Rock.
Is it where you come off the top rope?
No. You get into the middle of the ring. The guy's laying down there. You step over him, and then the Rock goes, puts his hands like, let's go, and he goes into this rope, and he runs, and he jumps over the body, and then he does this, Chris. He does some little dance, and then falls on the elbow.
That's the people's elbow.
Yes.
That's the people's elbow.
It's right one
there.
Of the most amazing things
if
ever
Jeff
created.
McNeil would have run and bounced off the right center field wall and come running back for the people's
motions.
Elbow, that would have been something.
That
would have been hilarious.
It would have been great.
Like, where's Jeff going? Oh, he's going to right center.
He's going to the wall.
Rhys Hoskins is waiting for him because he's expecting a people's elbow.
Well, I
don't want to miss it.
Yeah, sometimes the Rock took his time setting up the people's elbow. And
yeah, and it's always nice the other wrestler was, able to
knocked
wait
out
for
enough.
It.
They were stunned
right.
enough. Yes. That they
he was
sit
stunned
on the ground.
Enough for just the amount of time he needed.
Yeah. Just right. Yeah. All right. Padres and Giants tonight, as I said, 6:40 the start at Petco Park. Joe Musgrove for the Friars. Rookie, I think he did pitch a little last year, though, Kyle Harrison.
Padres roughed him up a little
for the
bit
Giants. I hear good things about Kyle Harrison, though. But we'll see. He's a lefty, so the Padre lineup changes just a tad tonight, Tony.
It does indeed. You have the first seven as they have been really all season. Xander Bogaerts, Fernando Tatis, Jake Cronenworth, Manny Machado, Ha-Sung Kim, Jerickson Profar, Luis Camposano. Now gets a little different, right? You got the lefty on the mound, so you get a Eggy Rosario at third, and you get Jose Azokar, a.k.a. Sugar, in center field, batting ninth.
Jackson Merrill is left-handed only, right, Tony?
Is he switching? No, oh, yes, he only
okay,
hits.
Okay, right, so yeah, I wouldn't expect him then to be in there against a lefty, at least not yet. But he's afforded himself awfully well. Campusano, two more hits yesterday. What'd you do? You put the stat in here. It's a good one, Scraby.
It's from Kevin Acey. I'm not going to claim it.
Okay, well, I'm glad you gave him credit. But Camposano started.
I'm not going to claim it.
No, because Kevin Acey deserves all the credit here. 66 games for Camposano in his career, 19 multiple hit games. That's like one out of every three games. That's not too shabby. And Xander Bogaerts has had three straight multiple hit games to open the season. Last Padre to do that was, Tony, did you know? Did they give you that same note yesterday in the booth?
They might have. I don't know.
You didn't get it?
No.
Mark Loretta, 2004, had multiple hits in the first three games. So good on Xander.
Kyle Harrison, last year, 5 2/3, 6 hits, 6 runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts against the Pods.
Well, let's see if we can get a rinse and repeat.
Indeed. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. All right. Mike Schilt was on the morning show today. We're going to have the Dylan Cease interview coming for you in about 15 minutes, so stick around for that. But some of the things that Mike Schilt had to say in an enlightening interview with our Ben and Woods. And one thing Mike Schilt, I know he said after the game, was that he thought the Fernando base running move from first to third on a basically what was a ground ball to the pitcher. Mike Schilt described that as sexy base running.
He did.
He did.
And it was.
So
you know why he has to describe it as sexy? It's because he knows there's probably only a handful of guys that can pull it off.
For sure.
If you say it's good base running, then you might have other guys trying to do that, and there's just not many guys.
He doesn't want anybody else on his team getting the same idea. But Ben and Woods had an idea of what to ask Mike Schilt this morning, and the question was, what other baseball plays does Mike Schilt think are sexy?
I don't know. You kind of know it when you see it. I mean, you know, there'll be more that'll come up that we'll attach that to. But, yeah, that was just a baseball play that, you know, it's heads up. It's all the intangibles, you know. It's anticipation. It's athleticism. It's aggression. It's trust. It's all the different things that make a really special baseball play. And, you know, there was actually a fair amount of them yesterday. I mean, Toddy's was very well aptly described. Just a great baseball plays going on the pitch, full count with Crony, and, you know, didn't hesitate. And the thing that was even more impressive about it for me is that ball's behind him. You know, it's over on the first base side. He's going towards second, but he was able to figure out what that looked like and make a decision. You know, Jackson going first to third on the ball bogey hit was really nice. Manny going first to third. It was just really good base running plays yesterday that, for me, are a big differentiators that help you win baseball games.
Mike Schilt sounding like Chris Ello there with his love of base running. Very good.
Yeah.
Happy to hear that. Luis Campos.
No doubt.
What?
Nothing.
What? You never mind.
I said no doubt. That's
yes.
It.
Oh. I was just being a parrot, echoing what Tony said.
Fly away, parrot.
Really, I guess I really bothered him with that.
Fly away, parrot.
Caw.
Mike Schilt was asked about Luis Camposano. We talked about him, a multiple hit game again. Here's what Schilt had to say about his young catcher.
Yeah, Campy's demonstrated early, which is really impressive. At early stage.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.